Welcome to the Taboo Podcast, hosted by me, Lexi D'Angelo, industry rule breaker, seven-figure moneymaker, and founder and head witch of the Taboo Institute. WTF is the taboo, you ask? It's the vortex of transformation that is experienced when people claim the magic of the taboo, woo, and Y-O-U. It's a way of being that invites you to question the status quo and dismantle the outdated hierarchical paradigms and structures that have been sucking your soul, and instead follow the signs of your turn on and true knowing to create fulfilling and sustainable success your way, aka without ever sacrificing your purpose, passions, and priorities in the process. After all, I'm a firm believer that true transformation happens when you're able to unapologetically claim and express your fullest, most multidimensional self. It's time to ditch the norm, embrace the provocative, and reach next levels of impact and income by invoking the taboo. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another Taboo podcast episode. I am here with Joe, who all of you know from previous podcast episodes, and V Redis, which I am so excited to have V here today because she is one of our Taboo Institute students, and she is a whole lot of magic and goodness, as you will come to see. So V, officially welcome to the show. We are so pumped to have you here.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. This is such an honor. So yes, thank you. Thank you.
You are welcome. So obviously you have so much magic that's hard to kind of put into a concise nutshell, right? Like there's so much that you do and facilitate and make happen in this world.
Oh yeah. But
yeah. Yeah. So if you were to give yourself a little intro and tell people what you're all about, what would you share with them?
Well, even when I was younger, I would always say I was a jack of all trades, master of none. So that kind of sums me up in terms of life, in terms of my business coaching. I know a little bit about everything, and I love to blend things, mold things, fix things, and create new magic from it. So taking a little sprinkle of this, a little bit of that, a pinch of this, and creating something new pretty much each time I decide to pop out with something. And it was frustrating for a while because I'm like, it has to be this, it has to be structured, it has to be. And then I said, you know what? That's not who I am. It really isn't. I am a bag of all of the things. So y'all gonna get all of the things.
Yes. And I would even say, like, what you said is false. You're not a master of none. I feel like you are a master of so much. So maybe that needs to be like 3 weeks.
Yeah. I try to stay humble a little bit, you know, but I do know a lot about a lot. So in terms of, I am a professional tarot reader and a coach in training. And I've taken the lane of a vibrational energy coach. Energy is fascinating to me. And honestly, it's one of the most and best compliments that I get from other people is you have the best energy. And that speaks to me so much because it has nothing to do with a physical appearance, has nothing to do with what I do as a person in this world. It's just who I am. And if I can help people to kind of amp up their energy to be, you know, stand in their authenticity, their authority, and their audacity, that's what I'm here to do.
I love that so much. And I just want to back that up because I remember the very first taboo call that you ever came on. It wasn't when you were a student. It was before that, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I just felt you through the screen. Like literally, I zoned. There were so many other people in the room, but I just remember like zoning in on you and being like, oh, it feels really good to have her here. I don't know her. I'm just meeting her. But like, I could just feel you when you finally became a student. I was like, yes, because I personally wanted more of V and your energy and all that. So I just absolutely adore you. And I would just say hell yes to that statement. Your energy, just it speaks louder than words and it can be, you know, felt. So I know that people are going to be able to feel that through this episode as well. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, because you have so many tricks and trades and stuff up your sleeve, mm-hmm. why did you initially say yes to Taboo Institute? Like, where were you in your journey when you were like, okay, yeah, I'm doing all this, but mm-hmm. I also want to join this experience?
A couple of things happened in 2020, when the world decided to do what it was going to do. It was at that time that I actually resigned from my full-time job as a speech and language pathologist and really started to step into my business as a reader. And I was finding that I was loving what I was doing in the terms of reading, but then it was just kind of like leave people flat at the end. Like I would give them this great reading. I'm like, oh my God, it resonates. Yes, I love this. And then there wasn't really a next step. And so for me, it was just like, okay, you know, I've had, you know, studies in counseling and therapy and things of that nature. It's like, well, what else can I do with this to help to take my clients from here's the information, here's what you know you want to do, and bridge that gap to how do we get there? And so the first coaching I signed up for was with Pamela and Lisa. In High Magic. And I loved it. It was like the first investment that I had made in myself in that space. And then trolling Pam's page, I found I found Lexi and Taboo. And I'm like, what is this Hogwarts of goodness? I need to know. Yes. And so just then I started stalking Lexi and then everything Taboo. And I was just so fascinated by the way that Taboo is set up. I'm a lifelong learner. I love school. I don't necessarily want to be in traditional school, but I love learning. I love the knowledge, once again, that know a little bit about everything. And as I started to look through the information and look through what you guys were offering, and I was just like, this feels so good to me, you know, it had this magical twist to it, but yet there was science and there was evidence. And it was just all of the things that just really made my brain and my heart go, yes, 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 yes. But at that time when I found it, I was still finishing up my first, you know, coaching experience, and the timing just wasn't right in terms of the investment and things of that nature. And so I put it on my manifestation list and I said, when the time comes, it'll be the right thing. It'll be at the right time. And lo and behold, the right time came. You guys had just revamped everything. So there was a purpose in the wait. You know, at the time I couldn't see it, but now I understand. You guys had revamped the whole curriculum and everything. Even when I thought it spoke to me before, like it was like loudspeaker when you guys kind of transformed everything. And I was just like, I don't know how it's going to happen, but it's going to happen and we're going to make it do what it do. And from that point, I was like sold. I was in it. And everything that I have learned thus far has just been transformative for myself, just by reading and practicing things on me and then starting to roll that out in my sessions, my reading sessions with my clients. It's very small touch points within the reading dynamic of reading for a client, but even those small touch points that I'm bringing to them, they shift in those small areas. And they're just like, okay, yeah, I did this thing. So now what's next? And so it's just been great to see that I actually have something to offer them after giving them this download of information and saying, okay, see you later. You know, it's just like, okay, let's step one to get to the end, you know? So that's kind of what brought me to Taboo.
I love that so much, especially as like, I relate in such a way because that's how I started reading tarot. And I was like, there's gotta be more, right? Like mm-hmm. it's just a jumping off point.
Definitely.
So like adding in more is always nice. So because I'm on the back end so much, I am so curious about mm-hmm. your realms mastery courses. So you chose, was it chronomapping, pleasurable mm-hmm. exploration, mm-hmm. Akasha field guidance, mm-hmm. and bio of manifestation, right?
Yes.
That was your last choice?
Yes.
So I'm like, tell me more about this. I'm always curious why everyone chooses what they choose, because like, you know, we were all in there doing all the things and they're all so magical, but I feel like, and especially just watching your stories in particular about chroma mapping and PSX, I'm so curious to know how you blend all of this into what you do.
So currently at this time, it's still this, I'm still stirring the pot, you know, so I'm using bits and pieces from each of the modalities, especially powerful questioning. That is definitely my favorite. You know, I love to talk. I love to chat and just the why, you know, so definitely using that within the sessions that I'm having now. Embodying metaphors is another yes for me, you know, that trying on that, what does it feel like getting into your body, being able to express that, you know, verbally. And some people are, you don't recognize how nervous people are to actually be in their body and express what a feeling feels like, you know, and having those, creating a safe space for people to be able to do that, that in itself just shifts something in them, like, oh, it's safe to feel this feeling. It's safe to talk about this feeling out loud. And sometimes when we talk about things out loud, answers come. You know, we try to keep it in the hamster wheel of our head and try to figure it all out. And it just creates permutations of more hamster wheels. And so shifting it down and putting it into the body, people get less afraid of feeling their feels. And so that moves into that element of vulnerability and being able to be vulnerable outside of a session and sitting with feelings and figuring out how to move with this, how to transform it, you know. And then with pleasurable sexploration, just pleasure as a whole, you know, finding that we don't have to transform through pain, you know, all the time. Everything doesn't have to be painful. So how can we play through this? You know, how can we make this enjoyable? You know, and I hope I can say this here. One of my, and I'm still dissecting how this works, but in my mind, anxiety and orgasm work the same way. It's like, it's this buildup, so to speak, till we get to this point. And so anxiety takes us, you know, over the edge to apathy, where it's just like, I don't even care. I don't care. Whereas orgasm is like this breaking point and it's just euphoria. And so it's like, if I can move in the space of the orgasm to euphoria and still transform things, I'd rather do that than put myself through the mental processes of anxiety and worry and scarcity and fear, all of the things that we know come with that. So trying to navigate things in a way where people can have fun in the transformation. And so when I say that I'm still stirring, is I am creating a bigger thing called the joy frequency. And the joy frequency is finding that frequency within yourself that's based on play, it's based on pleasure. And it's hitting that level of joy where you can manifest and co-create anything that you want in the world, you know? And working with individuals to figure out what is their joy frequency, what takes them or what gets them to that place. And using all the modalities that I've learned and now in bio of manifestation to work with the energy centers of the body to bring that in as well. Like I said, at the end of the day, I want people to be audacious and authentic and have this sense of authority to where they know who they are. And they have poured into themselves in such a way that the overflow is what the world receives. And if every one person does that, it's just overflow all over the place. No one is emptied. No one is pouring from an empty cup. No one is just dragging the dregs of what they have left to make something happen. So that's how I'm stirring all of the things that I'm learning to create, a massive takeover of joy frequency. And joy is my middle name by birth. So it all has a purpose.
I love that so much, B. That is just like
such a beautiful example too of how even though you're stirring, you are creating something that is so bespoke, even from these, you know, very unique proprietary Taboo teachings and tools and techniques. I love how you are taking a bit here and a bit there and really infusing your magic and your way of doing things into the process, which just brings it to a whole new level. And I think that what's so cool about, you know, Taboo Institute in general is that you're able to choose and pick and choose which modalities are going to speak to you and your clients.
Yes.
And then also add your magic on top of that. So not only do you not have the same, you know, modalities as the same coach next door, but you have a different array of them and you're adding in your unique flavor, because we don't want cloned carbon copies. Like that's so boring. Yeah, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So I love what you're up to and what you're doing. And I'd love for people who are tuning in too to hear, like, who are your ideal clients and the people that you work with and support? What are the, you know, transformations that they can experience with your programs, with the work that you do in the world?
So honestly, I believe that those that get into coaching, the clients that are attracted to you are the ones that you've had the most experience in your life with. So for me, it has been about, you know, releasing the conditioning, people pleasers, you know, adults, I guess you can say, or people, because I'm in my 40s. And so when people talk about a midlife crisis, I don't believe it's a midlife crisis. I believe it's that point we get in our lives that we recognize that the conditioning that we've had this entire time is not equaling the happiness that we were sold at the beginning. You know, and you get to that point where you're just like, yeah, I don't want to do that anymore. And people outside of you think that you're having a breakdown, that you're losing your shit, just all over the place. But it's really you coming back to you and saying, who am I? What am I about? You know, I also have a firm belief that our root chakra, the base, our security, our safety is not programmed by us. You know, it's programmed by our caregivers, you know, our parents. And usually it's programmed with a sense of either their fears, their worries, what they didn't get to do, what you need to do, and how you can make up for that. And if we base our entire life off of a programming that someone kind of has given us, we're going to be very unhappy, you know, unfulfilled in our own path until we get to that point where you're just like, yeah, no, they told me if I did all these things, I'd hit that happily ever after. And I'm not happy, you know? So those are the clients that I feel I attract because I've been there, you know, I've done some of that work. I'm still working because everyone's a constant, we constantly work, right? But completely shifted my life from, you know, I went straight from high school to college. I pledged a sorority that my mom didn't get the chance to do, you know, left college and got married and had a kid and got my master's degree and went into a 9-to-5 and had the house and the car and lived in the suburbs, the whole nine. And then it got to a point where it's just like, I'm still not what they told me that I should be at this point. And so here we hit this element of divorce and being a single mom for a bit. And now I'm remarried. And so, you know, I have a new husband and I work for myself and he's a full-time DJ and we live in the city. And so complete shift, but it's a shift of my choosing. So those are the clients that I unconsciously, I guess, attract that are looking for the happily ever after based on them and not what society has told them to be or what their family or friends have told them to be. I love that's, people come in and say, I'm lost. And I'm like, yes, let's go. That is when I'm excited. Or people say, I quit my job. And I'm like, congratulations. Or I'm getting a divorce. And I'm like, great job. Where do we want to go from here? Like those kind of things are when people recognize I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I'm not in the place that makes me happy. And I'm here like, okay, let's rebuild from the ground up and get you to where you want to be. And if you don't know right now, that's totally fine. We're going to work through this. So yeah.
I love that. Oh, go ahead, Joe.
No, I was just going to say, it's amazing. It's amazing. I freaking love that so much. I feel like, I'm like, oh, I understand now why V didn't take Archetypes and Shadow Divination, because you're already masterful at that. Like, you already know it. obviously. But it's so interesting, right? To be able to like peel back those things that some people are like, oh my, like I'm lost. Mm-hmm. And really be able to say, no, actually, this is a crossroads and we get to go wherever we want now.
Yes.
Like, oh, yes. Love it so much. Sorry,
you get to create at this point.
No, I absolutely agree with you too. And I think that you are like the coach for somebody who's in a transition point, whether they can mm-hmm. see that or not, like you're mm-hmm. saying, like they feel lost, but it's a crossroads or it's this place of being able to powerfully pivot and recalibrate to their true north, because they exactly. might have been seeking a path that, like you said, was promised to be all mm-hmm. butterflies, but like that wasn't for them. They're right. more of a skulls and whatever yes. type of person instead. And you know, this is something that we've been talking so much behind the scenes, like Vicky and Joe and I, we've been talking about like the shiny results in the industry and what everyone is supposed to want or supposed mm-hmm. to be aiming for, and how we're so bored and so tired of like those typical things. And we love that our students are becoming more clear on like what their truth is. And mm-hmm. hey, if it is like the 100K year or $1 million, whatever it is, like cool, great. Like right. we still honor that. But if it's like also to be able to live in the city or travel in a van or whatever it mm-hmm. is, like, that's great too. Yes. And we're really like passionate about helping people not just chase success that someone else says like mm-hmm. is the measure, but mm-hmm. to really find like what that is for them. So I love that you've done this for yourself and you're also supporting other people with this, because I think that it's so important and so needed, because there's no one way or model or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the more examples we can see of people finding success and, you know, naming their own way of being quote unquote successful and fulfilled, like the better. Mm-hmm. So powerful.
Yeah. I feel as when we are our most authentic, you know, our most authoritative, and like I said, audacious, we attract the right things to us. We are magnetic to the things that are true to who we are. I always use my analogy of a magnet attached to a refrigerator. And if we have like 7 to 10 takeout menus between that magnet and that refrigerator, you know, that magnet, it sticks, but I mean, it's not on there really well. But when we begin to take down the layers, the takeout menus of who we are and what we have between us and what we want in the world, that magnet sticks. And it sticks well and hard, you know? So it's about taking those layers down and getting down to the brass tacks of who are you? And at that point, everything that is meant for you is going to show up so much faster. It doesn't have interference, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. And so going along this train of thought, mm-hmm. Because I think that sometimes people in the industry think there's also one way to market yourself, one way to yep. create programs, blah, blah, blah. And like, mm-hmm. as you know, we don't believe in that here.
Yep.
And we are wildly passionate about people finding their own ways of marketing themselves, their own delivery methods, et cetera. So mm-hmm. can you just share with people like what you're doing to attract clients and the way that you've even structured your programs, just so people can get a taste of what you're doing. Again, this yeah. is not to say like this is the way, and this is not right. necessarily what we tell students to do, because we don't. Mm-hmm. This is just one example of what's possible. So how do you right now currently attract your clients? And so like, what are the marketing methods, so to speak? And mm-hmm. How do you design your programs? And what is it like, you know, on the back end once people become clients? And I'm sure there's many different ways, but maybe you just want to highlight like a couple.
Yeah. And it's funny because this is a thing that I've actually struggled with in most recently is how do I market myself? Because of course we look at the social media is where everybody is pretty much right now. And, you know, the very polished, the very put together, the very, you know, eye-catching and things of that nature. And I'm just like, yeah, but everybody's stuff looks like that. But maybe my stuff should look like that because people are getting hits. And if I want to have business, maybe I should do that. So honestly, in the last month or so, I've really been navigating what should my marketing look like? And, you know, how should I be doing this? And it finally broke. And it's interesting, it broke through a scammer on Instagram of someone deciding they wanted to be red light readings on Instagram. And I've always said to myself, when a scammer shows up, it's because I'm in my imposter syndrome. You know, I don't feel confident enough to stand in who I am. So somebody's like, oh, you won't do it. No problem. I'll do it for you. You know? And so at that point it snapped me out and I was like, you know what? I don't have to look like everybody else. You know? So I get on and I do stories. I tell people about my life, the ups and downs with things. I'm chaotic at times. When I'm really in a mood, I'm manic because I'm excited. And like you said, that joy and that energy kind of just radiates. And then, you know, people start to follow and then they want to know more. And so from that imposter syndrome situation, I am in the process of creating a group container called the Pity Party Crashers. And when, you know, we get into imposter syndrome, we can throw these wonderful pity parties for ourselves, right? And it's been number one surrender for me to create a container, because if I get into my head too much and try to plan, I will have analysis paralysis. And I won't get anywhere. And I'll just sit and ruminate over what about this and what about this. And it'll just go on for days and days. And so now I'm just kind of on the spur, like, this is what I feel. This is what has come up today. Cool. Yep. This is what we're going to post about. And so that's how the Pity Party Crashers has kind of come to be. So, you know, the music that plays at your pity party are your limiting beliefs. And we all have a favorite one that we can get up and sing a karaoke. And so from there, it was like, okay, we did that for a minute. People were answering and chiming in and being interested. And then it was just like, okay, but we're at a party, you know, how do we change the mood? And it's like, oh, a record skip. Somebody bumps the DJ table and it interrupts the music that was playing for something different. So now my story is talking about, well, what is your table bump? Like, what is your record skip? What is the belief that you can have that's positive to help shift the mood of the music at the party? And so it's a fly by night for me. And I hate it as much as I love it, because I want to be organized. I want to, you know, be polished like everybody else, but I don't operate that way. So it has been a bunch of self-love in this process, a bunch of, let's just see what happens, balls to the wall, let's go, to see how people respond. And I find that once again, when I'm my most authentic, wherever I am, people are like, you know what? I relate to you. I get what you're saying. Tell me more. And so we're just winging it. And so far, so good.
Oh, I love that. I love it so much. And it was funny because I saw your stories when you were talking about like the pity party thing and the scammer. And so it's amazing that you were able to just like, I mean, I just think it shows your sort of ingenuity of like this. I mean, it's happening a lot, right? Like with scammers and people doing that type of thing.
Yeah.
To be able to take that and really utilize it as something that's going to help people is just, it's like, what more can we ask for, right? Like, that's amazing.
Thank you.
It really is. It's just like, I think that that it showcases your mastery, number one, but also like I said, that ingenuity that you clearly have to look at a situation and say, okay, yeah, this sucks. Mm-hmm. But also, how can we use it to better things around us?
Yes. And like I said, taking it from that anxiety to orgasm, like, how can we play through this? You know, how can I get pleasure? How can I have fun? You know, and saying this is a sucky situation, but there's a reason. I believe there's a reason for everything, you know, whether we know it in the moment or not, but nothing happens to us. It happens for us. And so it's sitting down and saying, why is this happening for me? What is the lesson I'm supposed to take out of this? Or what can I take out of it right now to do that immediate shift to try to get to a better place as the sucky thing is still going on? So.
Yeah. And I love your transparency too. And like, okay, I want to be polished and I want to whatever, but like, that's not who I am. Mm-mm. And it's like, well, why do we want to be that way? Because we're told that we have to fit inside of a certain box and within the lines. And blah, 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 yeah. Boring.
Yes. Another part of what's peeling off of, you know, having a 9-to-5 for the majority of my life. You know, like I said, just in 2020, I've been working for myself. And so it's the remnants of it. Doesn't all have to be put together. There's no such thing as perfect, you know, and things can still be right without them being perfect, you know? And so it's embracing myself and saying, well, these are my talents. These are my strong suits, you know, improvisation, even before coming on this podcast, I'm like, let's just wing it. I feel like I do better in those spaces than when something is structured and like I get nervous and I just don't know what to do, what to say. And I know that's not me authentically. And so, like I said, as much as the Virgo rising in me hates the chaos, I also know that that's what works best for me to be able to express the important things for people to say, oh yeah, I dig that. And I want to know more. So.
Yep. As a fellow Virgo rising, I empathize with that because there is a part of me that's like, okay, like neatly, beautifully put together. Yes. Like love that. Appreciate yep. that. But like, it takes so much effort mm-hmm. for me to like do that. Like people that comes innately to them, not to me. Like mm-hmm. I have to work at it. But I am, you know, all frame expression too. And like, whoa, uh-huh. there's my passion in the moment. And when right. I go there, it's so much easier, which is why I love these podcast episodes, because there's really not much planning, if any, that goes mm-hmm. behind it. And it just yes. feels so easy versus like different things that we do inside of the business, which need to be more structured for various reasons.
Of course, yes.
And yeah, so I just think that it just goes to show that you really can do what feels most in alignment for you and that it can work, even though it feels wrong, quote unquote, because
right.
we're told
exactly.
it has to be a certain way. It's yep. not.
Yes.
And so like you were saying before, it's releasing that. It is, you know, releasing that conditioning, unlearning, relearning mm-hmm. your true way, and just trusting that as scary and edgy as that can be.
Mm-hmm. But I will say why I love Taboo is because of the structure, is because of the dedication and the work that has been put into each of the lessons and how they are fleshed out. And so that part of me, like moving into something like that, I am head over heels. I love it. It makes me feel like I have things in order. I get it. But then on the flip side, for me, putting it out into the world, it doesn't translate the same. And that's what I had to kind of get okay with within myself, is I like structured things, but I don't necessarily give structured things.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
It reminds me of like love languages. And so
yes.
like, you know, it's a little bit of a different, but like how you receive versus yes. how you give can be mm-hmm. different. And so that's
exactly
fascinating. Yes, 100% to that. Yeah. So speaking of Taboo, like I'm curious for people who aren't behind our quote unquote castle doors, mm-hmm. what, if anything, has surprised you about it, or what do you love most? Like anything that's been like the highlight of your experience that you want to share with people?
I have loved just the support and the camaraderie of everyone within the community. You know, I've been in different community spaces and there have been some not so fun or not so nice encounters, you know, that you've had with people. I can't say that I've had any encounters that were unsavory. Everyone within the community, whether it's stat, TG staff, behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, my, you know, coven, the tab witches that are there, everyone is just like, get it. Everybody is supportive. There isn't like jealousy and cattiness. And I don't know if it's, you know, 90% or even more women or women identified, but usually, you know, when you're in those spaces, it can be rocks. None of that, you know, so being in a community where everyone is, you know, bigging up the other person and signing up for their courses and really trying to support has just been mind blowing. And just, I can be myself here. you know, and that's when you can be the most vulnerable and you can get down to your own stuff is when you feel like you don't have to wear a mask walking the halls, so to speak, you know, hearing other stories when on the calls, you know, it's just like, oh, I'm not alone. That's cool. Yes. Okay. Let's see how are you going to navigate this? So maybe I could take some notes on how I'm going to navigate it. You know, so hearing other stories and getting those mini coaching sessions have really been powerful throughout this entire experience. Like I say, it's just, and I think I put a post and it was just like, you know, if school was actually like this and the things that we're learning, like I would honestly never leave. Navient would just be on my back until the day of forever, because I was student loans all day, you know? But it really is the support. It's the love. It's the love of you guys that's pushing us to be who we are, you know, take what we've learned, chop it and screw it to however it fits best for what we're trying to do and fly into the world and use it. You know, there isn't pressure to, I know it has to be this certain way. You can't do it any other way. You know, we're encouraged to infuse our magic. We're encouraged to say, okay, well, if you have this modality and you do this, how can these two things fit together? And there's conversation that can happen to have those sparks to fly for more creativity, more expansion, you know, more braingasms. That is priceless, honestly, you know? So, yeah.
Yay. I'm always curious if like, does that translate, you know, because like on the back end where we think like, oh yeah, this makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. I always wonder like, does everyone understand? Like, is this coming across clearly that mm-hmm. we really want you to take this and make it your own? Like, so I'm glad that really has been your experience. Because I think that's really what we strive for so much is just to be able to give that to you.
Yes. And like I said, I am a student. I know that everyone on the podcast can't see, but like these are my learn and facilitate spell. These are just the learn and facilitate spell books. And literally I want to just take all the speech books that I have and just like knock them on the floor. Like, these are the textbooks. This is the knowledge right here, you know? But yeah, having these and being able to flip through and highlight, like I'm a nerd all the way around. But the time and the effort that goes into creating, like I said, these spell books is beyond me. I don't know how you guys do it. I'm grateful that you guys have, you know, and I'm glad, I know that you guys are like, yes, this is done. We can skate for a minute. We can breathe for a little bit, you know, but these are priceless to me as well. You know, these are books, as you guys can see, sorry, can't see at home. Yeah, I love them. And the information that's in here will serve me for a very, very, very long time. And I'm not done, even though my cohort fall of 2021 will be done at the end of July. And we still have a little bit of time in the continued mastery part. I'm not going anywhere. I'll be around for a while because there's more things that I want to take. There's more things that I want to learn, just whether it's just my own knowledge, because it's just fascinating AF. But I'm sure that I'll be able to blend it into something else that I plan to do in the future. So I'm just going to go ahead and buy a new bookshelf and make the space.
For reference to everybody listening, he has like a stack of spell books that's probably like 20 pounds.
The people at Kinko's know me. They're just like, clear front, black back. I'm like, you got it, babe.
They're like, I'll be back next week. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So on that topic, then, I'm curious to know, since you're printing out spell books, mm-hmm. what is your favorite call type? Like, I'm always curious about what calls people love, what's helpful, what do you come to?
Honestly, I think that the demo coaching calls are my favorite. Just seeing the work in action, because it's one thing to read about it. It's one thing to even have practicum, because we're practicing, but to actually have someone come with an issue, and then watching a TG just seamlessly like move through the process that we're learning, it's fascinating. But then the information that comes out is just awesome. But just seeing how the ebb and flow of conversation in a coaching session and the rapport that happens and, you know, where to take things. It's always a choose your own adventure that I think we as students are trying to master, because we can learn it in a textbook. Okay, it says number one, we do this. Number two, we do this. Number three, we do this. But when you're actually working with someone, it really is following their flow and knowing where, what tentacle to offshoot from, you know, and that in itself makes the coaching session seamless, because you're not like stuttering over, okay, well, they said this and what am I supposed to do next? It's just, it becomes conversation at that point. And I love to watch it because I'm like, oh, she did this here. Okay. And then they segued into this over here. And then they went down here. And so my brain is just like, click, 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 click. You know, and like I said, coming from a therapist background, I'm always about, you know, client led. So allowing them to start, and then I just kind of feed off of and provide a new lane with what they give me. And I just really like seeing that in action in the various modalities that I've been in. The experiential calls are amazing. I love them, but I also have monkey brain and I hate it. And so I find myself when I'm like in these journeys, I'm like, okay, I'm going to sit, I'm going to listen, I'm going to go through this whole thing. And then I find myself like, oh, what's happening over there? Nope, come back. Let's listen. Let's be, but what's that over there? I love them, but the capacity for me to kind of stop and be in that state for an extended period of time, it just doesn't work the best for me. You know, it's like, I want to take the notes. I want to do the things. And I love listening, but I also find myself sometimes like multitasking. And that's just my own thing, you know? But I do appreciate the journeys that we are taken on to get deeper into who we are and where we are and, you know, who's guiding us and what are they guiding us to? And yeah, Mist in Depths was my lowest for the longest. It's just sitting in that space and I can't touch anything. I can't feel anything. It's just watery and surface. I need surface. So yeah, I love the calls. Absolutely. Those two are my favorite, but the experiential one, it's just difficult for me, but I love it though. So yeah.
I'm with you actually. Like I find experiential calls, like when I can drop in, mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Like those types of things, like those are, that's where the magic is. Mm-hmm. But I'm very similar to you in the sense that like, I actually, when I take courses or certifications, like I cannot really sit down to learn. I have to be on the go. So mm-hmm. I'm walking and listening to something versus like sitting and mm-hmm. like, unless it's live, then sometimes like I can like tap in, but, but yes, I'm with you. It's like when I drop into those experiential calls and I can be present and not yes. like scattered. Yep. Wow. Mm-hmm. If I can't, it can be difficult. But I also love, love, love the coaching demo calls, because that's actually something that in a lot of certifications I was a part of previously, which I cannot even count the amount that I was in. They didn't have that kind of thing. And originally when we first had our iteration of the certification, we didn't offer those either. And okay. I was just like, there's something missing in the mm-hmm. mastery process. And it is so different to like learn something or even like observe a static video of like a demo of something mm-hmm. versus being live and seeing like on the spot, like what someone's coming right. to you with and like how you're picking and choosing various modalities. So for those of you listening, if you're not familiar with the coaching demo calls, essentially there's two sessions that are hosted essentially on this call. And so the TG, aka the transformation guide, who's hosting the call, will pick two people to be in the hot seat, magic seat, so to speak. And everybody else is observing the transformation on the call. So basically a session happens and the TG is taking the student through a session and everybody's observing mastery in, you know, in the works. And then afterwards, the TG breaks down why they chose a certain modalities that they did inside of that session, why they decided to go a certain way and then veer, you know, in another direction. Then also encourages people to be like, okay, how would you do this with your clients? Like, what choices would you have made instead? So it's, you see mastery like in the works, but you also get to like really analyze it and break it down to understand why the choices are made. So mastery and masterful facilitation isn't like so elusive, because even though it can be very intuitive for someone who's a masterful practitioner to do, we're having to like pause and be like, okay, like now that I'm reflecting on this, like, this is why I did this. And this is why I did that. So I just think that it's a really cool call type that I personally like love seeing too. Cool. Thanks for sharing that. And then I mean, I feel like I'm like looking at the time, like, shoot, there are so many more questions that I could ask you. But I'm curious to hear from you in terms of your greatest intangible or tangible result inside of the certification, or just the biggest confetti toss that you've experienced. What would you say that's been for you? And maybe it's something that you were expecting or not expecting. I don't know. I'd love to hear if you could pick one or two.
The first confetti toss was when I started Taboo in November of 2021, and somehow, I'm not quite sure how, I had lost like 18 pounds, and it was just like, I wasn't even like trying at that point, but because I was so immersed in actually doing the Taboo work on myself, like, it was just going away, you know? And I was just like, well, that's pretty awesome, because I have been trying and nothing was happening. So weight loss is definitely a confetti toss for your girl. And then just creating new offerings, whether they be workshops or classes or a new type of coaching session, and just getting good feedback from those. I did a workshop called The Root and the Rise, and it featuring the IC and the MC of the birth chart. And Michelle actually came to my workshop. So number one, her being able to support me in that workshop, just coming and seeing what it was about. And then because she is an astrologer, you know, that's just like, oh, here I am talking about astrology, and here I have this professional coming into my workshop, and she loved it. And she was like, okay, so when's the second one? You know, so that's a huge confetti toss when someone that is you're inspired by comes in, they support you, they're interested, and then they're looking for more. So that was like my latest confetti toss. And I was just like, yes, all right, I did a good thing, you know? So it's the confidence of, you know, the things that I've done thus far within the certification that are really my confetti tosses. Yeah. Yeah.
Joe, do you have a burning question for V? And then V will let you have a burning share, anything else that you want to share or wish you had been asked. So Joe, I'll let you go, and then V, you can close it out.
The question that I have, we won't have time for. I'm a sucker for an origin story, so that'll have to be like a part two podcast interview, obviously. So we'll put a pin in that one.
Okay.
But yes. Know that that's coming. Let's see. I am like, oh, I have so many questions, but they're all involved. I like to listen and talk, so it's hard.
Well, how about this? I will forego my burning for one of your questions.
Oh, I have to refuse that because I want to hear what you have to say.
I was going to say, we can have like a part two, maybe a few months down the road, where we're like, all right, this is V's origin story, and this is where she is now in the journey along the way, or something like that. It'll be very dramatic. It's like a superhero journey. Yeah, it'll be great.
No pressure for me to do some things then between now and then.
I mean, you're just who you are. It's fine. It's going to happen naturally.
Oh my goodness. For me, like, I have been riding this roller coaster and I've loved every dip, every turn, every, you know, woohoo that I can find within it. And I'm just excited that I was able to take part. And it's interesting because when I signed up for it, I actually just took out a credit card and I was just like, this is what's going to happen. I want to do this. And my intention is that I'm going to pay off my monthly balance every month. And up until the last month, I did that, you know? And the only reason I didn't do it the last month is because I took a little jaunt to Ireland. And so money had to be shifted in a different way. But it let me know that the work that I was doing, first off, I was supposed to be here. You know, I was supposed to be in this cohort at this time to learn these things. And because of what I was learning and how I was utilizing it, the return was coming back and I was able to pay it off monthly so that it wasn't just this one big thing at the end of the, like, okay, so don't forget about me over here, you know? So it was definitely a trust walk. You know, definitely the biggest investment that I had made in myself, for myself and just for my business. And I have absolutely no regrets. Like I said, I'll be here for a while longer because there's more things that I want to learn and to be able to use. But it's been a blast. It's been an absolute whirlwind. And Lexi keeps teasing new things. And I'm like, I wish she would just stop because I can't take things right now. I have so much to do. I don't have time to figure out what she's making now because I got stuff to do. But I know whatever it is, I'm going to be like, yeah, go ahead, sign me up. But no, I've had a great time. The women that I've met, the groups that I've been in from all over the world that are within behind the castle doors. Yeah, it's an experience that it's priceless. Can't really put words on it, but it's been amazing.
I love you so much. And yeah, I definitely have a creation problem. Like as soon as we're done, which we created 3,500 pages of spell book materials, not to mention like everything else that's involved. That is like a huge undertaking. And then poor Joe and Vicky, I'm like boxing them. I'm like, so I had this idea and they're like, oh,
I know.
And I was like, I know. I need to reel it in and we just need to like pause. But like, I already have ideas. Like, please save our souls. Gosh. So yeah, I just can't help it. Yeah.
Yep.
That's just, you know, I am a natural. Oh, I think my internet's cutting in and out. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you can hear me. Okay. Yep. Maybe it's just my video. I'll pause it for a second. But yeah, I'm a natural creator at heart. And like, that's where my passion is. And I just love creating this world of taboo, but it's not just me. It's, you know, our whole entire team and the students, right? Like you are also a part of the co-creation process because when we hear feedback from students and we like watch what people are doing, we're taking that in and we're like, you know, creating and evolving from there. So I just want to say thank you for everything that you've poured into taboo and the world like of taboo, because it has been seen, felt, witnessed, and is so freaking appreciated. And yeah, I just love you and honor you and am celebrating the fuck out of you for everything that you have created and are going to continue to create in this world.
Awesome. Thank you so, so much. That means quite a bit, a lot to me. So I appreciate that. And once again, I'm so honored to be here and to be on the podcast, to chop it up with you guys. Yeah.
Yeah. And part two coming soon. Stay tuned. Once down the line, we'll have you back and we'll do the whole story.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, V, for your time, your energy, and your magic. We love and adore you.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you. Thank
you. Oh, wait. Oh. Hold on.
Yes.
Where do people find you?
Ah, yes. Ah! I like to hang out on socials. Instagram is my favorite right now. So you can find me at Red Light Readings, REDLIGHTREADINGS. And my website is www.redlightreadings.com.
Perfect. We'll put that in the show notes and then you can go and hang out with V because her Instagram is magical. And again, her energy, whether the feed is visually whatever, perfect in its stupid boxes or whatever, doesn't matter. Energy transcends all that shit. So love, love, love you. Thank you for sharing. And thank you for being here with us.
I appreciate it. Thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed hanging out with me as much as I enjoyed recording this for you. And it would just mean the absolute world to me if you could go ahead and hit subscribe. And also, oh my gosh, you'd be the best ever if you could leave a review saying what you love most about this show. And of course, feel free to share this with your biz besties, your mom, your dog, anyone who you think would benefit from popping their earbuds in and taking a little listen. I appreciate you so, so much. And if you want to come and hang out with me on the interwebs, do some stalking, do some creeping, then you can find me at Lexi D'Angelo on Instagram, LexiDAngelo. And also on Facebook, you can find me facebook.com/TheLexiDAngelo. Have an amazing rest of your day, and I will see you next time.